This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Many of us were shocked and distressed to recently learn about the animal cruelty connected with our export of live cattle to Indonesia. And it really highlighted the fact that many of us just aren't aware of what is going on. And I guess I wondered how many other incidents or issues like this are going on that we're also not aware of. So I thought maybe we should educate ourselves and do a bit of a series on animal welfare so we can learn how some of the choices we make, maybe at the supermarket or even when we're buying clothes or something like that, might be affecting the world's animals. Serena Faber-Nelson is from the well-known dog blog prettyfluffy.com, and she's been actively following animal welfare issues for many years now. Hi, Serena.
Hello.
Now, I'm really excited about all the things we're going to learn as we talk to you each week, but I thought first we should maybe learn something about you. Can you tell us just a little bit about yourself to start off with?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, for the past 10 years, I've been a researcher and a producer for a lot of lifestyle television shows, mm-hmm. and due to my keen interest in a lot of them, have actually ended up involving animals. Mm. For example, a few years ago, I worked on Harry's Practice, which I'm sure everyone can remember.
Yes.
But during that time, I've also had a very active interest in animal welfare, and most recently, I started the dog blog Pretty Fluffy as a project. And you'll often find me talking about issues such as rescue and shelter dogs on there.
Yeah.
And basically, overall, I'm quite interested in animal welfare as something that everyone should just learn a little bit more about and educate themselves.
Yeah, that sounds great. Well, I think we definitely need to start with this issue of live export because it has been in the news so much. So firstly, Serena, just explain to us what live export is and why does Australia do it?
Yeah, well, first to give you an idea of the scale that we're talking about, over the past decade, we've exported nearly 6 million live cattle to Indonesia.
Wow,
Indonesia's not the only place we export live to. Live cattle and sheep from Australia are also sent to the Middle East, to Turkey, and other various parts of Southeast Asia and areas like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the Indonesian market alone earns the industry around $300 to $400 million a year. So it's quite large.
And that's why we're seeing all these political shenanigans now over it, I guess.
Exactly. But in terms of what actually happens, the trip for livestock from northern Australia to Indonesian ports takes around 5 to 10 days. And once they're there, they're fattened for approximately 90 days and then they're slaughtered. And I think a lot of people are wondering why we actually send them over there live. And the reason we do that and we don't slaughter them here in Australia, there's a number of them, but the main one is that the Islamic faith requires the meat to be halal, and this involves blessing a conscious animal and then killing it with one cut to the throat. And that's why we actually send them over live.
Right. And then why did this all explode, this issue now?
Yeah, well, it's the sort of thing that a lot of people haven't known about it. But for most people, they first heard of this live export issue when 2 weeks ago, Four Corners did a report on the treatment of cattle during the slaughter process. Whether people saw that program or whether they saw snippets of footage in the news in the days following, what they saw was pretty much the barbaric treatment of Australian cattle at a number of slaughterhouses throughout Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these cattle endured horrific abuse. It's a bit too shocking to go into in the middle of the morning on the radio. But if you haven't seen it, you can actually go to the Four Corners website and watch it there. It's still there. But to sum up, it's fair to say that a number of these animals died slow, torturous and quite agonising deaths. For me, it wasn't actually a lot of the graphic images that upset me the most. By all means, they did upset me. But I think the last image, there was a cow having watched all of the others gone through what they went through before him. It was just shaking in fear, and the fear and the terror on that cow's face, I think that image hit home the hardest for me. That sort of struck with me that these cows are sentient beings, and what we're putting them through over there is quite horrific.
Yeah, wow, they know what's going on. That's really shocking, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't think I was alone. Considering meat consumption in Australia went down by almost 15% in the following week, I think a lot of Australians actually felt the same way.
Yeah. What do you think is the solution to this kind of situation?
Well, at this stage, I think a lot of people feel that the only solution is to phase out live export completely. The problem is that these incidents are not one-off occurrences.
Okay.
It was only a few years ago that we were seeing sheep crammed into car boots, and live export shipments to Egypt were actually banned for a short time because of that. Mm-hmm. And these industries, they have been operating for decades, and despite their best efforts, that they say, and millions of dollars actually spent to try and make animal welfare a priority, it's just not happening. So, for example, with Indonesia, they just don't have the animal welfare laws enforced to protect the cattle.
Mm.
It's a big issue, no doubt, but when it comes down to it, it's really, once these animals leave our shores, they're just no longer protected by the welfare standards Australia has in place.
And I think, you know, I feel sorry for the farmers in this too, because they're there paying their levies to MLA each month, and I think a lot of farmers would have been quite, you know, horrified, but, you know, unfortunately they're caught up in this mess, aren't they?
Absolutely. I think that there were a number of reports of farmers distressed by watching the footage that they saw.
Mm.
And I don't think any farmer would ever willingly send his cattle to receive such treatment. And I think, unfortunately, Australian farmers are really suffering from the effects of this whole mess. Myself, having grown up in rural areas, I know how families and complete towns rely on certain industries just to stay alive.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, the alternative of actually phasing out live exports over a period of time with support from the government would possibly allow the industry to move into processing animals humanely here, still in accordance to halal methods, and then providing halal certified box meat to Indonesia. So we still have a trade for those farmers. And I must add, contrary to what a lot of people believe, what we do here in Australia in terms of stunning animals prior to slaughter, it is actually acceptable for halal slaughter, and it's already practiced in Australian abattoirs that produce halal accredited beef.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. So there's no reason why we can't be slaughtering them here and then exporting it. So what can people do, Serena, if they want to get involved in this issue?
Well, firstly, I think we've all done a lot in Australia due to online petitions. I think there were nearly 250,000 signatures on the Get Up petition alone. I think people were writing to MPs. Really, a lot of Australians have already made their voices heard. And the government has announced a suspension on the live cattle trade. But really, this isn't actually a long-term solution. And I think that's something that people need to be aware of, because often with these issues, there's an initial reaction, and then it sort of peters off and it's not heard of again.
Yeah.
I think the next step to watch is really on the 20th of June. Independent MP Andrew Wilkie will be submitting a bill to Parliament to phase out live exports over the next 3 years. My suggestion would be, if you do wish to see live export phased out, write to your MP and ask them to support the bill. Then after you've done that, get on Twitter, Facebook, talk to people and encourage others that think similarly to do the same.
Mm-hmm.
There's also going to be a National Day of Action with rallies in capital cities on Saturday the 18th of June, if that's something people are interested in.
Okay.
And but if you just want to know a bit more about this issue, check out animalsaustralia.org or banliveexport.com for more information. The website's done by Animals Australia and the RSPCA, and so you can go on there and check out some fact sheets and other information, just so you can make an informed decision for yourself.
Okay. Well, thanks, Serena. It's lovely to talk to you. It's lovely to share in your passion for this issue as well.
Oh, thank you. Well, thank you for having me. And I think one quote that keeps on coming up in a lot of the news reports and when people talk about this issue is one by Gandhi. And he actually said, "The greatness of a nation and its moral progress can be judged by the way its animals are treated." And I think for a lot of us, we just didn't know that this was going on. But I guess the question is now that we do know, what are we going to do about it?
Yeah, exactly. Well, we look forward to being further informed by you in the coming weeks, Serena, and finding out more about what's really going on.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, you're very welcome. That is Serena Faber-Nelson. She is from the dog blog, prettyfluffy.com, and also the other websites that she mentioned were animalsaustralia.org or banliveexport.com.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.